Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife Annette and I. You know, today we are addressing the question, is the fire of hell literal? Well, some say the fire is not real fire, but simply burning thoughts or figurative language. There's a danger in not taking the Bible literally. For instance, if the 6 days of creation was not literal, if the flood really didn't cover the earth, if the Red Sea really didn't part, or if Jonah wasn't actually swallowed by a great fish, then it takes away from the severity of the scriptures and reduces the trustworthiness of the Bible. And it calls Jesus a liar, because Jesus quoted Jonah and Moses, who wrote many of these things.
Good point, Bill. You know, when the Bible uses figures of speech, it is obvious. You know, such as Jesus stating, he is the bread of life, or he is the door, or he is the vine. You know, of course he is not meaning he is actually bread, a door, or a vine.
Right.
Right? However, figures of speech, you know, they still can convey a literal truth. And just to clarify, when Bill and I say literal, we are saying we take a strong and compromising view of the scripture, and we want to give it the respect and obedience it deserves.
Right. You know, and just to give a literal example where it's so crystal clear, you know, and when God made the earth, it says he worked 6 days and rested the seventh. Well, then in Exodus 20, verse 11, actually verse 8 through 11, he said, just as I work 6 days and rested the seventh, so shall man work 6 days and rest the seventh. So there was a comparison, and that's a literal example of how crystal clear that is. 6 days he made the earth, he worked, and 6 days man is to work and rest.
That's a great example. You know, I really like, too, what Proverbs 8, 7, and 8 says. It says, and this is speaking of God saying this, everything I say is right and true, for I hate lies and every kind of deception. My words are plain and clear to anyone with half a mind, if it is only open.
Well, that's such a good verse.
And I love that because, you know, God doesn't use deceit or trickery, and he does speak plainly.
That's right. And, you know, if you thought those things were not really literal fire, not really literal days, well, that's deceptive. You know, and God's not deceptive, like you said. You know, Josh McDowell and Don Stewart say in their book, Reasons, page 36, quote, to interpret figuratively, we must find a good reason in the passage to justify doing this. The words of a given text should be interpreted literally, if possible, close quote. Then also in the book, The Bible Has the Answer, page 74, Dr. Henry Morris states, quote, whenever the Bible writers used allegories or parables or other symbolic stories, they always either said so or else made it evident in the context.
Oh, those are good. Yeah. Very clear. Yes, I like too what the Holman Bible Dictionary says on page 745 and 746, and this is in regards to Matthew 13, which is another great example. It says, quote, however, there is strong evidence to indicate that literal language is used and that the Bible does in fact teach literal fire and other sufferings. The parable of the tares in Matthew 13, which discusses eternal judgment, is helpful here. The Son of Man, the world, children of the kingdom, the children of the wicked one, the devil, the end of the world, the angels, the gathering, all are literal figures in the parable. It is then natural to conclude that the burning of the tares should also be taken literally.
Boy, that is so clear. All those things we take literal, why do they now take just the fire and reject that and say it's not? There's no scripture for that. You know, it's interesting that a 2017 Gallup poll revealed that only 24% of Americans believe the Bible is the literal word of God. And it also said that only 14% of millennials believe the Bible is the literal word of God. So you can see why people don't take it literally. They don't even believe the Bible is literal. You know, and those who don't take the Bible literally are usually those who reject many stronger doctrines, such as hell being eternal, or Jesus being the only way to heaven, or marriage being between only a man and a woman. They reject them because they're offended by them. You know, Jesus said some are offended because of the word's sake in Matthew 13:21. But he also said we should not be offended in John 16:1.
That's really good. That's excellent, Bill.
Yes.
But let's look at some of the scripture and some commentaries and some prominent church leaders' opinions regarding specifically the fire in hell being literal.
Okay, well, the first one would be Luke 16:23, talking about the rich man in hell Jesus mentioned. He said, in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, if it was just flames of mental anguish, then why would water suffice? No, it's real fire. That's why he wanted a drop of water. It wasn't just tormenting thoughts. You know, in the word flame that he used there, it's in the Strong's number 5395. It means blaze, set on fire, and burning. So it's actually talking about fire. It's used also in Acts 7:30, where an angel of the Lord appeared in a flame of fire in a bush. So it's actually talking about real literal fire. And then one other verse that's proof that the fire is literal, Revelation 9:2 says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, if the fire in hell were only metaphorical or just figurative, then why would real smoke arise and darken our air and sky? It would take a real fire to do that. And the fire came from the pit, a separate place down in the earth, which the current hell or Hades is also down deep in the earth and in its own separate area. And that's in Ezekiel 26:20, Numbers 16:32-3, Amos 9:2, Isaiah 5:14, Isaiah 14:9, Job 11:8, Psalms 55:15, Psalms 63:9, Proverbs 15:24, many other places that show hell is down deep in the earth. And that's where the smoke arose out from the bottomless pit and darkened our air and sky. So it took little fire to produce that real smoke.
Yes, that's so true. You know, Bill, we're just going to look at a couple of commentaries that verify just exactly what you said. You know, the Believer's Bible Commentary, page 2366, says, the bottomless pit, when he opened the entrance to the abyss, billows of smoke poured forth, as if from a huge furnace, veiling the landscape in darkness.
Very clear.
And then Matthew Henry's commentary, also on the whole Bible, page 2475, says, upon the opening of the bottomless pit, there arose a great smoke which darkened the sun and the air.
There you go.
So it had to be real smoke to darken the sun and the air.
Right. Now let's look at some more verses, and we have so many, but just to give a few, Deuteronomy 32:22, for a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell. It's God speaking. Job 18:15, brimstone shall be scattered upon their habitation. Psalms 11:6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone in a horrible tempest. Psalms 21:9, you shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Psalms 140:10, let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Isaiah 33:12-14, the people shall be as the burnings of lime. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?
That's really good. I also, Bill, Isaiah 66:15 says, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. And Matthew 3:12 says, he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Very clear. Mark 9:45, and shall cast them into the fire that never shall be quenched. John 15:6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Hebrews 6:8, whose end is to be burned. It's talking about the wicked. Jude 7, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Revelation 14:10-11, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night.
Revelation 19:20. I like that last verse. So they're tormented again with fire, not thoughts.
Exactly.
And Revelation 19:20 says, these both, the beast and the false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So again, notice that is a lake that's burning. It's not burning thoughts.
Right.
And Revelation 20:10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Very clear.
So the beast and the false prophet are alive right where the devil is.
Right, being tormented forever and ever. Revelation 21:8, the unbelievers and all liars, and it goes on to say, they shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Notice again, it's a lake burning. You know, most of people know that God gave me a vision where he showed me hell. I wrote about it in my book, 23 Minutes in Hell. But one of the things that I'll never forget was seeing the people burning in the fire. There were thousands of people in this huge pit on fire, and they just looked like skeletons with flesh hanging off their bones. And the screams were so loud from the burning people. It was an awful sight. You know, but also, you know, when we saw the Twin Towers burning, it said the temperature of the burning fuel was 2,000 degrees, and those people exposed to that 2,000-degree heat would be incinerated in 15 seconds. Well, scientists say the center of the Earth is 12,000 degrees. And, you know, we know that hell is down deep in the Earth. So imagine 12,000 degrees of heat, of fire. You know, and we have a friend named Adam. He used to work for the fire department, Newport Beach. He was in the mountains fighting a fire, the forest fires in California. And he was caught up on the second floor, and it burst into flames, him and his partner. And he said they couldn't see out. It was filled with smoke. And he said, our suits protect us between 600 and 700 degrees. He said, but my flesh and my hands started melting under my gloves. And he said, we were looking for a way out. We couldn't find a window. He said, finally, we saw a window, and we dove out the window. We didn't care what was down below. We just had to get out of that burning fire. And I said, Adam, would you have jumped from the Twin Towers, from that great height? He said, Bill, let me tell you something. You would do anything to escape burning. Anything.
That's so true. I mean, look at when you just touch your finger to a hot iron.
Right.
How quickly you pull it away.
Right. And, you know, that's why Jesus talked about the fires of hell. He talked about that 17 different verses. So he's warning people. It's really a place burning with fire.
You know, besides the hopelessness in hell, it seems like the fire would be the second worst thing to experience.
Right, to burn forever and ever in fire. Horrible. You know, Charles Spurgeon, in the book Hell Under Fire, page 28, he said, quote, there is a real fire in hell as truly as you now have a real body, a fire exactly like that which we have on the earth, close quote.
Oh, that's good. Matthew Henry's commentary also, Bill, his commentary on the whole Bible on page 1885 and 2018 says, quote, nothing is more painful and terrible to the body than to be tormented with fire. By this, therefore, the miseries and agonies of damned souls are represented. They are burning forever in a fire, which not only cannot be quenched, but will never spend itself. Which it will never end.
Right.
And Dr. Albert Mohler in the book Hell, Yes, page 76, says Scripture clearly speaks of hell as a physical place of fiery torment and warns us we should fear.
Boy, that's a good warning. You know, John Wesley, he said in the book Essential Works of John Wesley, page 761, he said, quote, indeed, if there is any fire, it is unquestionably material. For what is immaterial fire? Either, therefore, we must affirm it to be material, or we deny its existence. Does not our Lord speak as if it were real fire? No one can deny or doubt this.
And one last quote from A.W. Pink. He's got an excellent teaching on eternal punishment. And he says, the final portion of the wicked is spoken of as suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, speaking of Jude 7. But many say this is merely a figurative expression. We ask, how do they know that? Where has God told them so in his word? Personally, we believe that when God says fire, he means fire. We refuse to blunt the sharp edge of his word. Was the deluge figurative Was it figurative fire and brimstone, which descended from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Were the plagues upon Egypt figurative ones? Is it figurative fire, which shall yet burn this earth and cause the very elements to melt with fervent heat? No, in each of these cases, we are obliged to take the words of Scripture in their literal signification. Let those who dare affirm that hellfire is non-literal answer to God.
Oh, I love that quote. That is so crystal clear. You know, and to carry that point on further, the fiery furnace with the Hebrew boys in Daniel 3, it was real, literal fire they were thrown into. The burning bush in Exodus 3, it was literally burning with fire. The fire that fell from heaven and devoured the men of Korah in Numbers 16:35, that was real fire that devoured them. And then with Elijah and the fire that devoured the altar with the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18, it devoured the altar, the sacrifice on the altar, the wood, and even licked up all the water around the trench. So it was literal fire. So why would we think that hell is not literal fire?
Those are great scriptural examples. You know, Bill, though there are some that say, or they ask, why isn't the body burned up in hell? What would you say to that?
Like the burning bush that was on fire, but it was not consumed. The three Hebrew boys, again, they were in a fire, but they were not consumed. Elijah was taken up in 2 Kings 2, taken up in a chariot of fire with horses of fire. The horses, the fire, and Elijah was not consumed with the fire. So God can protect them and prepare them. You know, there's a scripture in Romans 9:22 that mentions the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Some commentaries say that that's people going to hell that are prepared. Their bodies are prepared. But this is really clear. Matthew 25:41, Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." So notice he said the fire was prepared. So he's prepared a fire that will not consume someone. And also, that could be also representative of a fire that doesn't produce light, because that's the trouble some of them have. They say that, well, how can there be darkness? Because Matthew 25:30 says it'll be cast into outer darkness. So hell's outer darkness. How can it be dark and still have fire? They can't equate the two. But God can prepare the fire to not have light. Just like when he made the earth in Genesis, there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And he said, light be, and light was. So just as he spoke light, he can withdraw the light, but still have the fire. And then also in another verse, Mark 9:43-48, when Jesus is talking about hell, he says, where the fire is not quenched. And then he goes on right after that and says, for everyone shall be salted with fire. So that's interesting. Many of the commentaries say about that, that the bodies will be salted with fire, which is a preservative. It'll preserve the body from not being consumed.
That's excellent. You know, plus, you know, people in hell are in a spiritual body. It's not a physical body like we have here.
Right.
With flesh and bone and blood.
Right.
So, you know, it's another dimension. Exactly. You know, Bill, it's interesting, though. There are a few people who have seen hell in a vision, and they claim that hell has no fire. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, Isaiah 30:33 says hell is deep and large. So it's a big place. They may have only seen a piece of it, and perhaps the piece they saw didn't have any flames. But I think more than that, many of them I've talked to and read books about, they never really made it all the way to hell. They were on their way to hell going down, descending a tunnel, and they felt the heat, and it was dark, but they never arrived in hell and actually saw the flames. So they assume there's no fire. But the scripture is clear all through the Bible that there is fire in hell.
That's good. That's a good explanation. You know, and I know you've already touched on this, but is there a few more scriptures about, because some say the fire is only fiery thoughts, that you may want to share?
Yes, and this is amazing because some of the scholars say that it's just fiery thoughts, but listen to these verses. Revelation 19:20 says, these two were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So it's the lake burning, not their thoughts. That's so clear. Revelation 21:8, the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Notice again, it's the lake burning, not their mind or their thoughts. Revelation 14:10, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. So you're tormented with the fire, not the thoughts. Revelation 20:10, the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. You know, you're not cast into thoughts, you're cast into an actual lake. And Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So this is where death and hell are delivered up from the earth and cast into the lake of fire. That's not thoughts. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Very clear.
Yes, and I think also this one is very clear in Matthew 13:40-42. It says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. This is Jesus speaking. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Boy, that is so crystal clear. So, you know, the point is God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Jesus paid the price on the cross. He suffered a horrible death on the cross to keep people out. But because he loves man, he gives them a free will to choose. They don't have to go there. If man would repent, as Luke 13:3 says, and confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that God has raised him from the dead, and they receive him into their heart, they can be saved and avoid this horrible place called hell. But you know, the scripture is clear that the fire is literal. To reject the obvious is to place a person's opinion above the word of God.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.